Our first scripture reading is from the 8th Psalm. Let us listen to the word of God. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have founded a bulwark because of your foes to silence the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are human beings that you are mindful of them, mortals that you care for them? Yet you have made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You have given them dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Our gospel reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. The final four verses in Matthew. Let us listen to the word of God this morning. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So even though these are the last verses of the book of Matthew, it's clearly not the end of our story. In fact, it's just the beginning. Jesus essentially gives the disciples a plan. Jesus gives them a direction in which way to go. And this direction, which they're guided, begins in worship. What better way to gain an understanding for Christ's direction than by beginning in worship? I hope you heard it in verse 17. When they saw him, they worshipped him, it says. And then after worshiping, even though a few of the disciples doubted, they catch a glimpse of what Jesus has in store for them. He points down the road in what direction for them to go. Now, direction is important. Without directions, we could easily get lost. I heard this dynamic speaker, Halloran Hill. He once talked about navigation and direction. He was talking to a bunch of business leaders, and he was telling us how essential it is to know where you're going in business. He brought up how grateful he is for GPS. This little device we all now have in our cars or on our phones tells us where to go. With this device, men no longer have to get out of the car and ask for directions. If we're lost, we can simply blame it on the GPS. I think I've told you this before, but Siobhan and I joke that our GPS has saved our marriage several times over. I don't know if you remember, but at one point, MapQuest was the place where you went for directions. Do you remember that? And we would print out the directions for our long trips, and whenever we got lost, not knowing where to go next, we would pull these out, except in the dark, when it was hard to read the directions. And of course, since I have a keen sense of direction, right, I would be absolutely irritated when we had gone off course. On one particular trip, we didn't have a map, we just had these printouts and with directions and distance. Did I ever think to ask for directions? Of course not. So I would snatch those directions out of Siobhan's hands while driving, of course, and in the dark, and try to read them, and it never seemed to end well for anyone in the car. And then one day, someone finally gave us their old GPS. And the many fights in the car started to evaporate. And now when we needed to go someplace, a calm woman's voice would tell me where to go. It always knew where we were headed. And if for any reason we would get off course, it would simply recalculate. See, I'm not always pleasant behind the wheel. It must be that Chicago side of me, so GPS has saved me many times over. But knowing where to go is essential, not only when we're on a trip, but especially for these 11 disciples who don't know where to go next. They not only experienced their Lord dying on a cross and then rising again, but now, what are they going to do? Certainly, we wouldn't blame them if they packed their bags and headed home. But Jesus comes back, and he says they've got some important ministry to do. And he gives them a direction in which to go. He gives them what we refer to as the Great Commission. He's not giving it to thousands of people or even 100. He's telling 11 disciples what they're supposed to do next. Just 11 people. Succinct, simple, and direct. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them. And by these 11 disciples following those directions, through 11 people, God transforms history. In fact, that's why we're sitting here today, because these 11 could follow direction. And disciples after them followed those same directions. Siobhan tells a funny story about following directions. When she was about 10, the teacher gave the class a worksheet. It had this list of 25 directions on it. Number one said this: read all the instructions before proceeding. Numbers 2 through 25 had all kinds of silly tasks, like writing your name backwards, jumping up and down 10 times, or walking around your desk. But number 25 said, when you read this, sit quietly at your desk and wait for the teacher's instructions. Siobhan is a rule follower. And when number one said to read all the instructions, she did. Then she sat at her desk and waited. And she watched her classmates jumping up and down 10 times and walking around the class. Eventually, the teacher noticed her and said, "You followed the directions, didn't you? You're the only one in the class who did." And she did not have to take the rest of the test. I've wondered time and time again, Jesus only needed 11 disciples who could follow directions. If any of you ever worried about numbers in church on Sunday, or the few who might come to a Sunday school class or a Bible study, we must remember Jesus only needed 11. In fact, the numbers were down. They had originally started out with 12. Yet this doesn't startle Jesus. He gives these 11 directions. It's not about the quantity for Jesus. It's about the quality and the ability to listen to Christ and then actually doing what he says. Jesus tells them what they're supposed to do. They don't need a book with an action plan or a committee to figure out how to get her done. These 11 who Jesus picks are ordinary, regular folks, just like you and me. Maybe we need to act like the first disciples and follow Christ's directions instead of getting things so complicated. We just need a plan of where we should go in a few years. In fact, on June 30th, this month, our church is celebrating a special anniversary. In 1827, men and women started First Presbyterian Church here in Jacksonville. 7 women and 5 men. And 190 years later, we get to celebrate what just a few who followed Christ's directions did. If we're serious about following Scripture, if we're serious about following the commission that Christ gave to the 11, and ultimately to us, then We need to follow Christ's directions and plans, or else it's like me and my wife without operating a GPS, or like not reading the directions before completing a test. The GPS already knows where we're headed even before we begin. It gets the destination and fills in the rest. And similarly, Jesus knows where we're headed even before we start. And if for some reason we get off course, we'll recalculate and find a new way to get us to that final destination. Imagine if we had a direction in which to go. What amazing ministry we could do on our way to 200 years. In fact, there's a group meeting right now, planning and visioning. We're calling it the Legacy Team, because we've received this legacy for 190 years. We are now looking beyond as giving a legacy for the next. We're looking at outreach and missions, discipleship, and even planned giving so that we can leave a legacy for the next generations. The session's already decided to celebrate our anniversary on September 10th, which is the Sunday after Labor Day. And the Legacy Team will soon be presenting the rest of the plans to our session, and then we'll be sharing those with all those in the church over the next year. And that way we can all work together with a plan, one that helps us live out Christ's great commission. We don't need thousands of people. All we need is a handful of dedicated disciples ready to listen to Christ. We need your prayers and all of your help following Christ's directions. God has a vision for us, for our church. God has a vision for each one of you, a plan. All we have to do is follow Christ's direction. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. If we follow these directions, God will do amazing things through us. Because of others following Christ's direction, we are here today. Every one of us has this ability and gifts to lead us into the future. Certainly, there might be times in our lives and in the life of the church where we need to recalculate. But we will be guided towards God's final destination. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.